You're ready.
Yeah.
Go when you're ready.
Hi, I'm Russ.
And I'm Sean.
And we're two dads who love watching
and talking about
movies. On this podcast, we are chatting about the 1985 film Legend.
With Tommy.
We have been watching movies together since we were 10 years old in Sean's basement.
That's me.
And 34 years later, we're back in the basement.
Russell's basement.
In this podcast, we're going to mispronounce words.
Forget people's names.
And most importantly, have fun. This is just another review podcast.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Oh, wow. Did you add that fart sound effect?
No, that came from my mouse, believe it or not.
Okay. This movie is...
Better in than out. Out than in. In than out is what I say.
Better in than out?
Better in than out.
It's better for farts to go in than in.
Keep it in. You blow it out.
Keep those farts in. What's the benefit? What's the health benefit of keeping your farts in?
Nobody else smells it. Oh, the health benefits?
Yeah. What are the benefits? Yeah.
I don't know.
Why better in than
out? Extra power?
Ooh.
Extra power? Like methane gas power?
Punch bricks, collect coins? Hi-yah! Mario holds his farts in. Do-do-do-do-do-do. This is Legend. Mario.
It's me. Mario. It's me, a Mario. I'll fart on command.
That's
when
how he gets
I eat that. Too
That's
much of spaghetti.
He's able to jump so high.
Hey, you know what's something I heard?
In control. What did you hear?
I'm going to blow your mind here. What does Mario say? What's Mario's tagline?
It's me, Mario.
Say that again.
It's me, Mario.
Supposedly he doesn't say it's-a-me. Supposedly he says the Japanese word, and I'm going to totally blunder this, but it's like tits-a-me. It's like, it's got a bit of a... Tits-a-me, a Mario. And tits-a-me, again, I'm probably totally butchering this, means super in Japanese.
Super Mario.
So the whole time, he's been saying...
Super me. Super Mario.
Super Mario.
There you go. You blew my mind.
Didn't I?
I all right.
Remember this?
Bare Naked Ladies.
This is being great.
I just had that soundbite forever, and I don't think we've played
it. We haven't used it.
I've been trying to play
it. We were not in grade 9 when that song came out, but we were pretty close.
I think we were in grade 8, actually.
Okay. So we were looking forward to being in grade 9.
I think so, yeah.
And then we started playing it again when we became...
And then we became vastly unpopular in grade 9 when we played that song.
Because
you guys listen to Bare Naked Ladies. We listen to Metallica.
We had long cargo shorts and like plaid undone, unbuttoned shirts.
Yeah, hypercolor.
Hypercolor shirts.
That would show where you sweat, right?
And your hair was parted and down to your...
So, obsessed with my
ears.
Hair. And now I see my daughter obsessing with her hair and you know, it all going full circle.
Sean couldn't pass a mirror without
fixing
his
hair. I still can't. Okay, well, there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
There's something you should desperately shave wrong your head. With me. No.
There's something wrong with you.
Well, make a list, Chris. Make a bloody list.
Oh my gosh. Maybe you just want your hair to be nice.
Maybe there's something wrong with that. I'm obsessed with it. It's called OCD.
Do you wake up and go, my hair?
No.
Like George Clooney?
Does he do that?
In a movie directed by the Coen brothers called Oh Far Fire. Out. Where Far Out? Where Out Art Thou? Oh Far Out.
Where Farts Though?
Where holding the farts in better than out.
Speaking of farts, we're talking about Legend today.
It's a 1985 film directed by Ridley Scott.
He's done some good movies.
He's done a couple. Gladiator 2, that's my favorite.
Gladiator 2, and that one with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, the Joan of Arc. Didn't he do some sort of Joan of Arc piece a couple years ago?
Yeah, no, that is, it's like The Last Duel.
Yeah, The Last Duel, that's it.
With Jodie Comer. We've talked about this.
You have?
I have. It's. I really like the movie.
Oh, okay. I'll have to give it a shot.
One of my favorite 2022 movies. Not a lot of 2022 movies because of the COVID.
I imagine there's going to be a good amount of 2024 movies either because of the actor and the writer's strike, which is seemingly ending now.
The writer's strike is done. But the actors
are still.
Yeah. I think that'll wrap up pretty quick. That's my prediction.
Once the writers have set the sort of precedent.
But they held a bunch of movies that they were going to release in end of 2023 to 2024.
Oh.
So like Dune, like the Dune.
Like the Doonies.
You doing? Do you think like Tom Cruise, Ridley Scott will die doing what he loves, which is directing, making movies?
I think so. There are those people that just love doing what they do. There's no sense of sort of retirement. It's just I love
I'm going to do this forever. Like, he's 86 years old.
86 and still cranking out movies. And
still, like, got Napoleon and Gladiator coming out.
And he's still, like, doing, you know, like, he still has an edge, you know what I mean? Like, right. A good vision, something that could compete with the latest and greatest director, I would think.
Yeah.
And even being that old.
He's not just doing legends anymore.
No.
Ridley Scott is
a
legend.
I can't believe this movie is so close to Top Gun.
Yeah.
You know, and looking at Tom Cruise in Legend and then looking at Tom Cruise in Top Gun.
It's like
they're only a year apart in release, but who knows in production.
Right. I think they did this the year before they filmed this in 84. But yeah, he saved all his charisma for Top Gun, but used none of it for Legend.
Yeah. Ridley got none of it.
So this is Alien was set in 79.
Whoa, weird. He went from one brother to the other. Ridley Scott did Legend and Tony Scott did Top Gun.
Do you think they just took their turns on
it? I wonder if, yeah, his brother was like, listen, I've got this great bloke, Tommy, here. He's really cool. He likes this thing called Scientology. Cast him.
It was like the guy with his underwear dancing, sliding across the floor.
I like
had
him.
Had he done it yet?
Yes, yeah, he has done business. It. Yes. I had to look at my notes.
He's a little risky boy.
He's the risky man with the dangly doogie.
Thank you, brother. I love him.
Handshakes all around.
Because that's what the Scott brothers did. Handshakes what all around.
Meaning?
I don't know.
What do you mean? Like they're
yeah, like Americans high five and Europeans probably just handshake.
Like my word is as strong as oak kind of
just
thing.
Just like bye.
Handshakes.
Salut.
All around.
Salut is high and bye.
I hope you washed your hands.
But it's got Tommy juice on it.
So Ridley Scott's 86 years old now. He was 86 and 85, right?
Did you just burp?
I'm trying not to regurgitate my
better in
McDonald's
than out.
Coffee. Better out than in is what I say.
Did you get a McDonald's snack as well?
I did. I had to get a bacon and egg. I had nothing to eat yet.
Okay.
That's why I was extra, extra late.
Tell me your story about Ridley Scott.
I don't have a story. No, I'm just saying. You've got to know he's 86 years old now, but in 85 he wasn't 86.
Is that how age works?
I don't know.
So let's just take off 40 years, right?
Let's just
take off 40 years. Bing, bing, bing. 40.
Okay. So he was 46, roughly.
Sure.
When he did this.
Yeah.
Mid-40s.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a cool guy. He's cool. Probably one of my favorite directors, movie makers, I would say.
Yeah, he's a talented guy.
Yeah.
He's got talent.
He's got talent. I big fan of Prometheus, big fan of The Last Duel, big fan of Raised by Wolves. Did you ever watch that show?
I did. Remember I talked a lot about it and I didn't like it.
Oh, you
did. I
kind of
like bashed it a little
man,
bit.
I did finish it.
Though.
I think he directed maybe one or two episodes, but he was part of the creation of it. It was
back when I didn't like women at the time. Remember you'd always put me in like, and she was, then. You know, the main and I didn't like the robot lady and you said it. You know,
I said,
you just went off on me about being a misogynist and this and that. And
yeah, whatever. You're toxic to me.
I was going to say, yeah. We're getting a little derailed here, but that's fine. That's what this is all about. I find it amazing, the Scott brothers, back to the Scott brothers, okay. That Ridley Scott and Tony Scott both made some of the sort of, I would...
Iconic 80s movies.
Yeah, I would definitely say some of the most iconic movies of the 1980s that me and you grew up and love and all that. But two very different, distinct styles between the two of them. You could definitely say one's a more dramatic director. One Ridley. You would say is more kind of action-y, Tony. I guess. Yeah, Tony. But just amazing, I find that two brothers from the same family both become...
Nepo babies.
Big-time Hollywood directors. Right. I just find that... So there must be some really good creative genes in that family is what I'm getting. Or nepotism, one or the other.
He didn't let them watch TV when they grew up. They just, you want to watch TV, you go create TV.
You make your TV.
You're going to be a watcher, you can be a creator, sons.
Was that true?
I don't know, but I just wonder that about creativity and how do you grow creativity in your children? Like, do you let them be sheep or do you make them
wolves?
You send
them outside without a TV and you say, use your imagination.
Yeah, exactly. Are you going to be passive observers or are you going to make the content? Because there's only, 0.001% of the people that are actually making the content.
Right, right. Everybody else is just copying and pasting it.
Put it in my veins. This is the first time I've seen this movie, Legend.
Right, right. That's why we picked it. Sorry, everyone thought we were doing Galaxy Quest, but we got derailed. Knee-jerk reaction. We looked at our list. Russ was like, hey, I've never seen Legend. Yeah. Let's watch it. Yeah. And I remember it being good. So I was like, sure, let's do it.
Oh, yeah, nice. Did you watch this as a child?
I don't think so. I think I watched this as a young adult.
Oh, okay.
I think I totally skipped my childhood. What about you?
I was going to say.
Well, no, yeah, I guess not. Duh. But Sean, maybe you should listen.
Yeah, maybe you should pay attention, Sean. I was thinking if you had watched it as a child, it would be probably nightmare-inducing.
Completely.
Like Dark Crystal kind of shit.
And we'll get into that. Let's get into who.
I swore.
Who wrote this?
Put the lotion in the basket. Who wrote this?
William Hortzberg.
Hortzberg. I would think that's like a...
Some Sweden?
Like from, yeah, so Hortzberg.
Damn it, this IKEA furniture is splitting my nails.
And so like he had a bunch of scripts and Ridley was inspired by certain things, by certain fairy tales, but he wanted something original. He didn't want to have to like adapt something. So he went to William and William had some.
Do you know how I imagine Swedish people working for IKEA?
Yeah. Yeah. How do you imagine?
That's how I imagine. That's what the factory.
Bookshelf?
Yeah. The R&D factory at IKEA is.
Yeah. And that's how you know it's working.
Yeah.
Those are good net sounds.
Okay, this is going to be a high seller, this one. You see how frustrated Arnold is here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't put it together.
And it's called Frork.
Yeah.
F-L-O-R-K.
So, yeah, Arnold's not in this, but Tom Cruise is?
That's correct.
Tommy's in this, right?
So he's coming off Outsiders.
You got Outsiders, Risky Business, All the Right Moves.
Right.
He's come from those. And he's going...
He's going to
see Tony after. He's going to Tony Town after this, right?
Yeah. Obviously, Tony's probably his favorite brother.
Yeah.
Because one gave him Legend and the other one gave him Top Gun.
Yeah.
Because there isn't any Maverick Legend or Legend Maverick.
And
Legend colon.
Did Tom work with Ridley Scott again after this? I don't think so. I'm just guessing, but I can't think of a Ridley Scott movie that Tom Cruise is in.
Did Ridley Scott direct Jerry Maguire?
No.
Did Ridley Scott direct a Mission Impossible movie?
No.
No, you're probably right then.
Brian De Palma did Mission Impossible.
All of them?
Number one.
I was gonna say.
Started the whole thing. Anyways, but Tommy did some movies with Tony. Tom and Tony.
Tom Cruise has worked with pretty much every big-time director.
Yeah, but he did work with Tony a couple...
He
did, Top Gun.
Right.
And Days of Thunder.
Okay.
Was another Tony Scott movie. Ooh, and I think that's it.
This is coming from your brain.
Yeah, this is just
my brain. Not even looking at anything.
No, I'm not looking at anything. Snowpiercer is in this movie. I should say you do! That's a bad... Snowpiercer from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Is in this movie. Mia Sara.
Are you
from
okay?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Are you okay?
I don't know who you're talking
about. I know.
You're like, what character is he playing?
Ooh.
Welcome
back to the podcast.
Start again. Who's in this movie?
Sloane Peterson's in this movie from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Maybe I should be a little bit more detailed, eh?
That's okay.
Yeah, and what is he playing? Fuck is Sloane Peterson?
What is Sloane playing in Legend?
Lily. She's Lily in Legend. You didn't make the connection?
I didn't. I thought you were talking about a gentleman named Sloane. You're right. Mia Sara plays
right.
Sloane.
Right. Sloane is a very asexual name, neutral gender name. It could be for a boy or a girl.
It could be
like a slinky.
Yeah. It could be
for
like
a boy or a girl.
A name of a urinal company. It could be like a band,
that's
a Canadian
Sony.
Band.
Yeah. Yep.
It could be all those things.
Hmm.
But I'm slow, and I realized who you're speaking about. Mia Sara is in this movie, playing Lily. She plays the princess. The princess of what, do you think?
I have no idea, because you never see a castle. You never see any other royalty, or, you know, you certainly don't see any parents going out looking for her this whole time.
Just abusing her power by going to
I'm calling bullshit she's even a princess to be. And she probably just told everybody.
Maybe I'm a princess.
Maybe she's the princess of, like, air, like some weird.
Exactly. Like airy.
Yeah. I'm an airy princess, princess of air. Tim Curry is in this.
Yeah. You would never know it was him.
Unrecognizable.
Completely unrecognizable.
Favorite Tim Curry performance? Do you have one?
I mean, I think everybody would say the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
But would you say it?
Well, I don't know. I don't think I'm a
you're not a
connoisseur of Tim Curry.
Give me some Tim Curry.
But you know, the original Annie, he's quite good.
I think that's my favorite. Rooster and Annie.
Rooster. Yeah, he's pretty
good.
Dirty.
Dirty?
Well, I don't know. He's a bad guy. He's a scoundrel.
He's a bad guy.
He's a dirty scoundrel.
No, that wouldn't be it.
I totally forgot about that. Anyways.
I want you to think about it.
Damn it. Well, now I do have to think about it.
Can we circle back? You know who I really liked? My favorite character in this movie was Gump.
Play the Gump.
Go get the Gump.
Where's Gump?
Gump. David Bennett.
I thought it was Freddie Muniz, the kid from Malcolm in the Middle.
You would think that.
It was Malcolm in the Middle.
That guy wasn't even born
It was
yet.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Was it?
I don't know. It looked like it.
I mean, I understand the face structure was the same, but it was not the same guy. He was 18 years old when he made this movie. He looks like he's 12.
That's probably why they were comfortable just having him shirtless and expose the whole movie, you know? Because he was old enough to do that. They couldn't ask a little kid to do that.
The character imagery of the characters are really cool. Like, kind of initially inspired by Alan Lee, who also inspired a lot of, like, Tolkien kind of imagery.
Yeah, this has a bit of a Lord of the Rings vibe to it, eh?
Yeah, like Peter Jackson used Alan Lee to create conceptual images for the Lord of the Rings films. And
I'm sure he used acid too, LSD, to conjure up images.
But Alan Lee was replaced on this project, and he was
replaced
by Ashton Gorton.
I wonder if Tom Cruise had anything to do with firing that guy.
No, that would probably be pre-production.
I don't know.
Pre-production. Why? What would Tom Cruise be like?
Wasn't a Scientologist.
Ridley.
He wasn't down
Tom
with
Cruise
the.
Has to work with people.
L. Ron Leonard. Leonard. Oh. Ronald
Hubbard.
Ronald Hubbard.
Mr. Hubbard.
Hubbard in your cupboard.
What's in your cupboard?
Placenta.
Is that what Scientologists eat?
That's what Tom eats. He ate his daughter's placenta. Because it gave him magical powers.
Well, there is something to do with that. That's like they dry your placenta and they put it in pills.
Don't
and then you...
fucking encourage the guy, okay?
I'm saying there's more than Scientologists to eat.
Nobody stands up to Tom.
Conserve the placenta. No one.
No, yes. They actually turn placenta into pills.
Yeah, no, they dry it. That's what I'm saying. They dry it and they put it into pills.
For sure. But Tom did it for other... He, like, held it up over, like... He stood up on this cliffside with this white robe
on.
They played. They played. And he held it up and he's like, oh! And he started munching on it in front of everybody. And all his dominions were like below him and stuff like that. And they were just like, yeah. And he dripped placenta all over them.
Give me some placenta.
Mm.
Do you remember in Mad Max when they have the water and there's like all those like.
You didn't hear about any of that, eh?
No, I didn't actually. Is that what Mad Max's Fury Road is inspired by? When they have the water and all those guys that are like around, like at the bottom of the mountainside. Remember those guys?
Poor people. I remember. They wanted water.
They were thirsty.
All right. Gump was in this.
Gump was in it.
And a couple other people.
Billy Barty plays Screwball.
Yeah, okay.
Alice Plaiton plays Blix, the
Blix,
goblin.
The nightmare-inducing goblin there. Hey. Oh.
I would assume that was a male actor, but it's a female actor. I would have also assumed that Meg Mucklebones was performed by a female actor, but it was just performed by Robert Picardo.
I thought it was just a puppet, an animatronic or something, man.
No.
The swamp monster?
You thought the face was animatronic?
Oh,
no, there's too much movement, too much.
Yeah, it was too much, man. I closed my eyes. That shit.
That was one of my favorite parts.
Well, I don't know.
This movie cost $24 million. It made $15 million.
Ooh,
sorry. We should have a sound effect of when movies make money and movies lose money.
Oh, that's a good note.
Yeah,
I'll make that note.
Well, you know,
somewhere.
Just providing you notes. And if
never
you have feedback, jartpodcast@gmail.com. If you have, you can, or if you're me, I can just give the feedback directly to Sean's face.
Right to my face.
All right, are you ready?
Okay. Yeah. I'm ready. Oh. Yep. Now that I burp for everybody.
Why would anyone listen to this podcast? I have no idea. If they're just going to listen to you burp in their ears.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everybody. I like have a coffee. I drink it a little too quick.
Be a professional.
And I...
Keep going. Keep going.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you go.
Okay. Do you have background music?
Yeah, I sure do.
A mysterious creature.
He's so darkness, you can't even see him sitting in his chair.
Wishes to stop the sun from setting.
That's so darkness.
Sharing a few tricks of the evil trade.
Like innocence makes great bait.
He directs the goblin Blix to kill two unicorns.
That's like a total boss move. Two unicorns, not one, two.
Which everyone knows kills the sun.
Well, you know, I knew that.
Meanwhile, Princess Lily...
She's innocent.
Princess Lily of Fantasyland is crushing hard on Forest Boy Jack.
Jack. They took so long to come up with that name.
Jack shows Lily some gnarly unicorns, but unbeknownst to them, Blix and company are on their trail. Lily commits the mortal sin of touching said unicorns.
No, don't.
And opening the door for Blix to take them down.
Oh.
Or at least one.
Oh, take it down.
Bing, bang, binter, the world becomes winter.
Song of Ice and Fire? Winter's coming?
Winter's coming.
Winter's coming.
You've
split this up.
Into two sections.
It's kind of 30 minutes in the first section and an hour and a half in the second section.
Let's talk
about the first 30 minutes of this movie.
We can talk about whatever you want.
Nice.
I think, just the whole, how the movie comes together, how the movie is presented. It was, they were filming, versus like, you think of these, like the epics of Conan the Barbarian, which we recently saw, which was done in Spain, and they were able to use the landscapes of Spain. We've talked about Lord of the Rings. They were able to use the landscapes of New Zealand. This was mainly filmed in studio.
I was going to say, this seems like it's all set inside, but some crazy sets.
Some cool sets. And the set burnt down, actually,
during production.
So they had to move, like the unicorn stuff to like a garden nearby in England.
They burnt the unicorns?
The unicorns, because horns are flammable. They're like candles. You put a little flame at the tip of a unicorn's
horn. I was going to say, I don't even know where the hell they found unicorns for this movie, man.
Well, England.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. All that stuff exists in England.
Oh.
It's just across the ocean.
And do you bait them with innocence?
Yeah, you just get Princess Di, and they come... Which Princess Diana was American, so it's all interesting. There's two versions of this film, Sean.
Yes,
I watched the European version.
No, we watched the theatrical release, the non-director's cut, which supposedly is much more mature and for adults. And this was a cut down made for kids, but I don't know whose fucking kids would watch this movie.
It's a little scary.
Dude, the goblins are...
Goblins
are crazy scary.
Corn on the goblins.
We haven't even seen Tim Curry yet. We'll get to that. But we've just heard his voice,
Oh my gosh.
Who's that? The Lord of Darkness.
So he's basically the devil, right?
Right. Yeah, great way to start a movie, by the way.
Yeah.
I love that moment, that starting.
You like that?
Supposedly, and maybe this is what you're going to say getting into this later, is because of the issues with the horns and the makeup, Tim Curry is not in as much as the movie as Ridley Scott would have liked. Therefore, that's part of the reason why he's not actually introduced for quite some time. And in the beginning, they tease it with the audience. The reason why he's not front and center is because, that makeup was challenging.
And it seems excessive for to use someone like Tim Curry. I don't think he's a very big, brawny guy. I think he's tall, but you know what I mean? They just piled the prosthetics on him, and it's why wouldn't they just use his voice and then maybe use somebody that was maybe more physically...
I don't know. I mean, the darkness is one of the best parts of this movie, and maybe that's because of Tim Curry's performance.
Maybe, but they could have just used his voice.
I mean, they did do that with
They've done that before, you know?
I mean, I think the couple of the fairies and they did the goblins, they did do... Are you saying that James Earl Jones is not under that dark helmet? my son. When they did Spaceballs, it was really Rick Moranis underneath
it. No, it wasn't.
Yes, if you lift up the helmet, it's Rick Moranis underneath.
Oh, mind blown, dude.
Just playing with his toys. I did like the imagery of, like, when they were always outside in the beginning, there was always something, like, floating, like pollen or sparkles or bubbles. Like, it gave, to me, it was very, made part of that, like.
It's very fantastical. Very fantastical. Is that a proper word?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's the fantasy genre.
Both know I don't create a word.
But do what I, would I know? But
see, you know, like, yeah, this is hitting off things like the early 80s, like Excalibur, mm-hmm. you know, Conan, mm-hmm. a bit of Conan-y in there. Mm-hmm. I feel like a bit of, even though it was prior to Labyrinth, some kind of Jim Henson Labyrinth-y influence in there, or maybe that's where Jim Henson got his Labyrinth influence from.
So
this Lee guy, right?
This is, after Star Wars.
Yeah.
And Henson's were involved in Star Wars.
Right, right.
Henson's a big, big name.
But Star Wars doesn't look anything like this.
No, but I think Star Wars is part of why, like, the success of Star Wars is the part of why they're like, oh shit, like, fantasy epics, like, it's like Iron Man 1. Like, Star Wars is Iron Man 1. They're like, oh, well, I guess everybody likes superheroes now, so I guess everything has to have a superhero in it.
I guess that, yeah, and Vane, a bit like Neverending Story probably came out around this time and stuff like that. Again, another made-for-children, nightmare-inducing movie.
Neverending Story, 1984.
Okay, well, 1 year before Atreyu. This, so there you go.
We could do Neverending Story.
No. I watched it with my children years ago, and
it's not as good.
No, it's not very good at all.
But we could have Chris on, and he was one of the bullies that chased the kid around the town.
Let's talk about this so-called princess, man. Okay. So no royal guards falling around. Nobody's come to get her. She's just, I gotta run everywhere through the forest. You know, not a, she's definitely the epitome of innocence, but she's a bit of a troublemaker too, you know. Yeah. You know, Jack must have told her a million times, don't touch the fucking unicorn, and she touches it.
She is a jackass.
Yeah.
She's a little bit of a spoiled brat.
She teases Jack, throws that ring into the water, says, you better get this if you want any punani, you know.
Yeah.
She's flaunting her quote-unquote innocence, right?
Yeah, she's flaunting her power.
Right.
I mean, she's taking advantage of the peasants, eating at the peasants' house.
Totally. So she's rich, and so she strips down the clothing line to distract the lady so she can sneak in and steal her biscuits.
And you think that lady can say anything?
No, I guess not. She can't go to the king and complain. Off of her head, right?
And she, you know, so, oh, great, thanks for
making my work. But she did give her some good advice. You know, Lily doesn't have to worry about demons or goblins. All she needs to worry about is,
stay clear of toadstool rings and willow trees and old oaks.
And old oaks. That's all Lily needs to worry about.
Okay, can you go? What were those three things again?
Stay clear of toadstool rings.
Willow trees. Willow trees. Man, I've got another podcast. I'll tell you a story about a willow tree.
An old oak.
Old oaks. Not
these are all
oaks.
Plants. She's got to worry about.
Yeah, toadstool makes sense. That sounds witchy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like oaks. You might get warts or something.
Yeah. Like don't kiss a frog.
Yeah.
I mean, although I do like, Mia Sara, and I'm a little bit later in the film when she's wearing all that black garb and she's being like that.
It's kind of sexy.
I'm all in for that. I'm all into that.
But
she is not a nice princess. Maybe she had to learn her lesson. And this probably was lesson learning, this experience for her.
So who is this? I looked at the rating on this movie. This movie's rated PG. And I don't think this movie would be rated PG today if it was to be re-released. I mean, they don't go back. Well, they do go back and change ratings. Have they gone back and changed ratings?
Did they go back and change ratings?
Question mark.
What is that big one in Rome? Caligula, or the big orgy one? You know that movie?
In Rome?
Yeah, no. It's not like Rome did it, but they did like a big movie back in the 70s or 80s, and it's about the Roman Empire, And it's like there's like orgies in it and stuff.
Oh,
like that.
Okay. I think Caligula. I know. I've never seen it, but I think I know words. What
but that, yeah, that yeah, yeah. Maybe they would go back and change that rating.
Maybe.
I don't know if they go back and change ratings.
Okay. Would you let your children watch this movie?
I don't think my children would want to watch this.
I don't
movie,
think so either.
But I would let them.
Let's take some still images of this movie. Would you flash them in front of their eyes before bedtime?
Good. I would like to wish you good night from me and darkness.
Check out Blix here and this guy.
And this is Meg. Yeah. This is your mother, Meg.
This, some of this imagery is pretty friggin' scary, man.
Rob Botten is the special makeup artist for this film. Did other stuff, worked with like Verhoeven and Carpenter on The Thing. Verhoeven with like Roboclock.
What'd you say?
My clock is robotic. It's a roboclock.
It's a robocock.
Tired of telling time by the sundial? Get a roboclock. It constantly ticks, ticks, ticks. And so he good makeup artist, I would say, Rob. One of the VIPs of this film, I would think.
I'll give kudos to this movie for art direction, that's for sure. The sets and the costumes and stuff, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. There, that's about Rob. It, though.
No, oh, that's it.
Well, that's all I've seen that's good so far.
Your favorite 80s fantasy film?
Labyrinth, I would say, for sure.
Labyrinth. Yeah. I think mine would be Princess Bride.
Oh, well, I didn't even consider that one. Yeah. But probably Labyrinth still.
There was a
definitely not The Great Outdoors though.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that later.
Okay,
but there was a on YouTube. There was like they were doing a fundraiser, I think, during COVID, and like they had actors reenact the. Did you ever watch that?
I watched bits and pieces of
Princess Bride movie. Yep.
Yeah.
It's really good. I watched the whole thing, and you'd think that wouldn't keep anyone's interest, but it was super entertaining.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was pretty interesting. It was very creative how they did it.
Yeah. Ready to go on here?
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Part two of our synopsis. Lily follows Blix and company to a meeting. Are you going to play the background music?
Oh, you want the nice stuff?
Well, I don't know.
That's all I got is nice and mean.
I would say just give me back the nice stuff.
Okay.
Lily follows Blix and company to a meeting with Darkness, while Jack forms an adventuring party made up of an elf named Gump, a secret fairy Una,
not a willow of the wisp,
and two dwarfs, Brown Tom and Screwball.
Oh, Screwball, you stupid pig.
Learning about the unicorn's fate, Jack heads to Darkness's lair, leaving Brown Tom to guard the unicorn.
Good choice.
Lily finds Brown Tom, but so does Blix, and Brown Tom gets an arrow to the jug.
Doink.
And Lily and the unicorns are taken to Darkness's lair.
Ah.
Which is where Jack is too.
Oh.
Jack meets super hot babe, Meg Mucklebones, and Blunder. Did I mention Blunder?
No, you didn't mention
him. Well, he's not a goblin after all, but a dwarf.
Oh, well, he's made some mistakes.
Darkness falls off his own... Darkness falls for his own bait and head over heels for Lily.
Oh, I love you, Lily.
Lily keeps him occupied while Jack places a number of platters throughout the castle to reflect sunlight, which is terrible for Darkness.
He ate the cheese off them first.
Darkness is defeated. The unicorns come back to life and the land returns to summer or spring, but it's definitely not winter.
No, not anymore.
Yeah, that was nice. I like doing it with music in the background.
Yeah, no, it helps, right?
It helps. It inspires me.
It keeps people awake.
It keeps me awake.
And Russell Wake, too.
How many meals?
Unicorns.
How many kills?
How many unicorns make it?
That's a lot of platters. So I'm wondering, like, how many events they have in Darkness's Lair to justify the amount of platters.
I don't see this guy having many friends. Maybe he's just hopeful that he's got friends. But wait, did you see the table spread at the end? It was quite...
Oh, that is true.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, that he had quite the spread laid out for Lily.
Yeah, because I guess if
that must have been at least a dozen platters
there. If he wants it, he gets it. So you got to be prepared, I guess.
You know, they're making fresh meat soup, right?
Barbecue? Fresh meat.
Barbecue?
Back on the table, boys.
I didn't like the clocks in this movie. You know, the one little gumpy Malcolm in the Middle's got a little sphere that tells time. And one of the other dwarfs actually has a clock.
There is a clock in the peasant's house.
Yeah, and then and Lily looks at a clock. I just don't feel it fit within this universe, you know, having a clock that actually had proper numbers on it. You know what I mean?
Like they have to think of like how technology, like if they can create a clock, you know, what else can they create? Does it make sense?
Robo clocks.
We could have robo clocks. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Beep,
beep. So yeah, again, Lily's parents, nowhere to be found this whole movie.
No.
Nowhere to be found. So she's, again, okay, so.
But maybe this only takes place in like a few hours, sure. Like real time.
Again, like, I guess maybe this is just playing off her innocence, like is she just aloof to all this? But winter comes and Jack gets trapped under the ice and she just, starts running away and then it's snowing. She's just like, running away, and then they capture her and put her in the Lord of Darkness's house, and she's like, just running through the Lord's. And then the end of the movie, fuck, she like, here, I'll sing you a song for saving my life, la 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 la, and then runs off into the distance, and there's like no parents around. All she does is run. I don't know where I was going with that. No, yeah, she's just aloof, right? Like, why didn't she help Jack get out of the ice? You know, why is she just running aimlessly through the forest? Well, I think she could have just stopped and helped them out. Like,
yeah, what's your problem? It would have been nice if she tried to get Jack out of the ice.
Yeah,
instead of running away,
she just she teases him. Says, yeah. "Here, try and get my pants." Whoa. And that, well
and then as soon as he's underwater, she's like, "I'm out."
Yep. Yeah,
soon as he's all wet, peasant's house.
As soon as he's all wet and bothered, she's out of there.
He's a cold-hearted. I like the singing though. I like the poetry, the riddles. That's very like.
Yeah, the language was different, eh? Type thing. I'm glad I had subtitles.
That's for yeah, sure. You need it.
Well, I didn't know what they were saying.
What are you saying, boy?
Move to the forest, and the wind tells me stuff. What the fuck?
I love that song.
Jack does a lot of flips. You think Tom did his own stunts in this? You think he did all those flips?
I don't think he's Tom
Holland. He flipped in The Outsiders.
Okay.
He did. He does a backflip off a car in The Outsiders.
Has Tom Cruise ever done his own stunts, though? I mean, really?
I don't
really think
so. He seems like such a prima donna. He's like, you do my...
I'll stand on my line. You flip for me. I'll say my lines.
You flip for me.
But I'll be in my trailer. Yeah. You get someone else to climb a mountain or jump off a mountain with a bicycle.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's kind of crazy.
One swear word in this. The goblin.
Oh. Shit!
Then he gets grabbed and dropped down the
pit of eternal stench.
The real dwarf. I feel, we don't see Blix ever again.
I was had a minute. What happened to Blix? Blix
should have come back.
He just disappeared.
So my thoughts about...
Legend 2.
Legends 2. Or if they had to redo
the
Legend.
The Return of Blix.
I would spend more time with like Blix and the Darkness Lair and really get to understand what this castle is and less time with the peasants. And
yeah, they wasted a lot of beginning time.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the director's cut had something to do with Blix at the end. More, you know, Blix. Maybe there was a death scene for Blix.
Give me the Blix cut.
Yeah. Give me the Return of Blix.
Return
well, there you go. Of they the saved Blix. Him for Legend 2 so that he... Okay. Could bring back the Dark Lord.
I am the Lord of Darkness.
Oh, amazing. And then, you know, resurrect him, and then it's Legend 2.
Yeah, I would love that.
Right? And then instead of Tom, because he's busy, who would they use for Legend 2?
I think Tom would come back for this.
No, you think so?
Sure.
Yeah, he liked no, I like the chainmail skirt they made me wear. It was great.
He's like, Mission Impossible or nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Someone's getting chopped to bits in the barbecue pit down. You see that in the background? Somebody's
oh, really? Down in the kitchen?
Yeah, he's getting like hacked and he's like, oh! And somebody's in the back like hacking somebody.
To make him into a good old stew.
Oh.
Yeah, crazy Irish stew.
And then they feed him to the cult in Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah. Everyone's audio in this seems manipulated.
Yes.
Like they've all been put through some sort of, I don't know what. Like
I think everybody sort of but Tom.
Modulated, Tim, yeah.
Like the Curry guy. But
even Tim Curry.
Even Kim Curry.
I am the Lord of Darkness.
That's right. There's a little bit of echo there, isn't there?
Something.
I am talking deeper.
Yeah.
Than I ever. Have resonance in my voice. Did you see me
in the movie Clue.
How about it? I like prosthetics.
I will be in one word titled movies.
Oh.
Annie. Clue. Legend.
I'm curious why Ridley did this movie. Why do you think he did this movie?
I think he likes fantasy.
And he just gave it an honest go when it was popular.
Yeah. I mean, he's done, like, you know, Last Duel. He's done Gladiator. He likes that kind of medieval shit.
Yeah, and but that's not fantasy. That's historical.
Oh, sorry. Wars, isn't medieval. Well, he likes the medieval, like, that kind of time period.
I guess the Napoleon era is pretty dirty, too, eh?
Yeah, he likes dirt.
Dirty periods.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I would assume he's just trying to capitalize on the fantasy genre. should we call somebody?
Oh, yeah. So you...
I picked the movie.
You picked this movie. We normally sometimes call people. We've done it once or twice, no. That recommend this movie, but Russ recommended this movie, so really nobody we can call.
Oh, here we go.
But there is somebody we can call. I'm lying. There is somebody we can call.
I'm excited.
Hang on a second.
You organize. Oh, okay.
Hang on.
Hey, it's Russ and Sean from Just Another Review Podcast. That's who we are. Who are you?
Hey, Tom.
Look, Fuckstick, I'm incredibly busy, so why don't you get the hell out of here before I snap your dick off and jam it into your ass?
Tom Cruise? It's Sean and Russ from Just Another Review Podcast. We're doing Legend. I chose it, actually. I chose the 1985 movie Legend. It stars you.
Yeah, what do you think about Legend? Do you want to watch it?
Oh.
I guess he doesn't like it.
I am sorry that we suggested it.
I kind of helped him out. I thought I would, you know, I said yes when he said you should pick it.
And you!
What?
Don't you ever do it again!
Okay.
I mean, I guess Tom doesn't, not a big fan of his earlier works of Legend. I know. What do you think about it, Tom? What did you think of Legend?
Is it understood?
What is understood?
If I see it again, you're f***ing gone. And so are you.
Okay. Well, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry on behalf of JARP that we bothered you today, Tom.
That's it. No apologies.
Okay.
Okay, well, we'd love to have you back another day.
You're going to have to call the fucking United Nations and get a fucking binding resolution to keep me from fucking destroying you. I am talking scorched earth, motherfucker.
He's mad.
I will massacre you.
He does not like Legend.
I will fuck you up.
Go fuck yourself.
I liked how you used, like, real audio from his... during the filming of Mission Impossible during COVID. And then some of that's from movies, actually, I assume.
What are you talking about? Tom Cruise on the phone.
Should we rate this?
Yeah, let's rate it.
This shit is awesome.
You suck. I gave this a 2.0 out of 5 JARPs, because you can give it 0 to 5. 0 meaning that we never give a 0. So 1 being pretty low score and 5 being best movie in the world. I gave this a 2. Mm. Although I really liked some aspects of it, the visuals, the makeup, the characters. I loved some of the little sequences between Meg Mucklebones and you know, the darkness and the Lily stuff. The plot kind of just complicates itself for no good reason. You know, you mentioned Labyrinth before. Like, Labyrinth is a really good kind of, lots of similarities between Labyrinth, but Labyrinth does a really good job in just making it a very simple, like, let's get through the Labyrinth. It could have been a very similar plot, you know, for Tom as well, but it was a little bit...
And it stuck when it had childish themes, it stuck with the childish themes, whereas Legend...
Kind of.
You know what did this camp? I've got in my notes here, but yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You can. I don't care. I'd probably argue that this is Tom Cruise's best role, and I would say that it's very on par with The Great Outdoors.
2.0 for you. Hey, yeah. Hey, look at this. Great minds think alike. I gave it a 2 as well. Wow. I'm just gonna read my synopsis. That's what I do. I thought this movie was cooler back in the day. It dragged on a bit too much for my liking, and the scary nightmare-inducing themes were quickly spoiled with the campy jokes. Tim Curry seems like a wasted headliner, covered with all the prosthetics, but he does make one scary-looking devil. Man, I wanted it to end, and I'd rather sit and watch The Great Outdoors.
Oh, you'd rather.
I'd rather watch The Great Outdoors.
Should we get rid of the JARP rating and just say better or worse than The Great Outdoors?
I don't think that's a good idea.
I think it's a
idea. I don't think that's a good idea.
I think it's a good idea. Okay, if you think it's a good idea, email us at jarppodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, should we change our, should it just be
better or worse than The Great Outdoors?
That's, did we give it 2.5 degrees? If we gave,
I don't remember.
Oh, we should, if that would work. If we gave The Great Outdoors 2.5, then it would be like, is it better than average or worse than average?
And I should say, I did like this movie. I really enjoyed watching this movie for the first time. It's another one that you could probably put on the background and kind of like get in aspects. But
yeah. I don't know. I struggled to get through it.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Agree to disagree.
I guess so.
Mm.
Oh,
That was actually part of that's the, baked into the clip. Yeah,
hilarious. What are you watching? That was baked, thinking about getting excited about reading. This is our stargazing.
No, I don't read nothing. Oh, I don't read nothing except stories to my kid. The other night, I read one paragraph and then the rest of the 20 minutes, I just completely made it up.
Really?
We went off on this.
What was the book you were reading?
Ivy and Bean.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, these two little school girls or whatever. Yeah. And I don't even think I can repeat the things I said.
Meaning it wasn't appropriate?
Daddy gets a little wild in his stories.
Yeah, right before bedtime, hey?
Right before bedtime.
Yeah, that must work really well for you.
My daughter was like, Dad, how much of that was real? I was like, absolutely nothing. And she started to laugh. She was like, none of that was real. I'm like, no. I'm sorry. I'm trying to think maybe something appropriate that I could share, but I can't think of anything. So.
You can't think of anything appropriate that you told your children before going to bed.
Not off my hand right now. No.
My God.
They always get it. It always gets into some wild, inappropriate adventure or something. I don't know. Anyways, speaking of inappropriate,
Social Services is on hold.
I'm watching Entourage, going back and rewatching Entourage.
Yeah,
that's highly inappropriate.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Man, I don't think that movie would get made today.
Well, I think it's one of those things that was canceled probably near the end of its run. And
no, it wraps up. I've seen the whole series.
No, I mean like canceled as far as culturally canceled.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, like it kind of lost the steam and
it is very misogynistic. Yeah. And I'm trying to think why I liked it or do.
Because like, you are very misogynistic, well, or no, at least
I
were.
So. I think it plays to the. It's male definitely gaze. A young male sort of audience, sort of, dreams of what it would be like to be a rich movie star and just sleep with women all the time and stuff. And that's, it's completely. They say it's based off Mark Wahlberg's, but let's be real. It's complete fantasy.
Sure.
So, anyways, but I think that's what it sort of plays into, that male.
It's like an 80s fantasy epic.
Yeah.
And you're enjoying it, though. So what does this say
about
you?
No, I think it's horrible.
Why are you using your... Why are you watching? You are choosing to watch it.
Right? I am choosing to watch it. I say because it's playing into my young male...
Uh-huh. Just feed it. Feed that
it's
part
just
of you.
Feeding it.
Yeah, you should feed that part of you.
Yeah. Anyways, but I can see the missteps
of your choices.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. If you want to say that. I watched that new Disney one, the alien one. No One Can See You.
Mm-hmm,
with
mm-hmm.
that girl there.
Mm-hmm. That's Caitlin Deaver.
Yeah. Her. Yeah. It's interesting.
Her's good.
I liked it. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
There's aliens in it.
Well, yeah, I think that's given through the trailer. But you see a lot of the aliens in it.
Even in the trailer, you see a lot of the aliens.
Yeah, and it's so...
It looked weird. There's like a last... It's like running towards the house.
Yeah.
It looks kind of like... What's the 30
there's
coins?
Small ones and there's giant ones. They're almost like vessels almost for these other little...
Oh, fun.
Squiddy things that live in their throats. And they get... Yeah, and humans get... them in their throats and stuff like that.
Oh,
humans kind of become puppets for them a little bit,
like Avatar,
kind of. Just anyways, So it was good. I like some of the themes and stuff, but yeah, I thought they showed a little too much of the alien, because, and then obviously CG kicks in, and you know, then it.
Right.
I think things are a little bit more scary the less you see. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like,
because then you make things up in your mind.
The Quiet Place was good at that.
Yeah.
Like not showing.
You have no idea what it looks like, so you're just in your mind, you're imagining the worst case scenario, and then you see it,
right?
Or what the director visualizes it to be, and it's not what you've imagined in your head, or it's not nowhere near as scary. And you're like, I'm not scared anymore.
Yeah.
Or not as scared anymore.
You know who did well with that, like playing with just like the fear and the music?
What? Who?
Jaws.
Oh, yeah. Jaws? Yeah, exactly. One of the greatest horror movies of all time, and you barely see anything.
Jaws is a horror movie?
Yeah, they consider it a horror movie. Oh, I think it is labeled a horror thriller. Thriller horror.
I can't believe
horror. What are you watching? Well, I talked enough.
No, that's fine. This is a podcast. I'm interested in your thoughts about the, did you watch The Creator?
No, I really want to see it. Oh, that's why I wrote it down. I really want to go see it. I've heard nothing but good things.
I heard it's not the best movie, but it's really good.
Looks like visually enjoyable. Like, oh, that looks like eye candy.
Reservation Dogs I'm watching on Disney.
Good time to pick up. Yeah.
It is good time to check out some
Aboriginal content, right?
Sure. Well, it's Truth and Reconciliation Day.
Right. That's what I was getting at. I was trying to find the proper words to not stumble. There. Yeah. You know, be careful with your words.
So, yeah. Reservation Dogs, great show. Season 3, it's probably mid, I would say, because they're releasing it week to week. So that's really good. I'd recommend checking that out. Lots of Canadian actors in that as well.
Okay.
And I watched Dungeons and Dragons on the Netflix. I've been holding off.
Okay.
Because I'd see it in the theaters. Enjoyed it. When it came,
it's fun. It's a fun adventure.
It's great. It's great
better than Legend.
Yes, it is better than Legend.
It's better than Legend.
Yeah, it's definitely better
than Legend. Is it better than Great Outdoors?
It's definitely better than Great Outdoors. No offense, John Candy. It came out in video. I immediately went to
video.
The Walmart.
Okay.
I purchased
a disc,
the Dungeons & Dragons disc.
You purchased?
I brought it home. I opened it up. I put it in the Blu-ray.
And it was 4K.
It was 4K. I didn't, I because.
You didn't
I,
get.
I didn't understand.
But I've normally been, the 4K version comes with the regular version.
You go, yeah, I, no? It might.
Sometimes.
I should look at that. Did you take it back? Doesn't come with a Blu-ray version.
Right.
I tried to take it back, but I guess Walmart doesn't sell these directly. Like it's like a subsidiary, if that's the right word, within Walmart. Like it's a company within Walmart.
Oh, what?
And they have their own rules. And because I had opened it, anyways.
Of course. That's horse shit.
Yeah. But I can still download the digital copy. And one day I assume I'll get a 4K. I've been relying on digital formats for so long. I haven't really bought like,
I would not invest in any physical media anymore.
I still do like to. Like if I really like a movie, I like having the DVD, Blu-ray.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
You're just waste, because, creating waste for the environment, Russ.
No, it's not because it's sitting in my
bookshelf. Yeah, but someone had to manufacture it, create the plastic, blah, blah. If there's no demand for this, they'll just be out on the cloud and digital.
Yeah, but sometimes you can't.
I hate you.
Sometimes you can't get stuff digitally. Like, sometimes you can't have access to it unless you're breaking the law, which I don't, which I'm against. You're against plastic. I'm against breaking the law.
Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
I watched also.
No. I used to be a collector myself. I do enjoy.
I'm trying to get a little bit back into physical.
And then I just ran out of space and put them all in one of those DVD books, and now it just sits and collects dust. Right,
I've got my DVD book. I was actually going to watch Fight Club soon. I got my DVD.
Oh, well, that's on our list. Why don't you just wait?
Well, maybe.
Because I want to watch it again, too, with that premise of that nobody's real except Edward Norton.
Except Edward Norton. Watched a couple other movies recently. Theater Camp, which is on Disney Plus here in Canada. Great movie.
Sounds like a porno.
Sure.
Or like it should be a porno.
I mean, you could watch it.
Was like there any boobs in it?
No, definitely not.
Man, I don't want to watch it then.
What is wrong with you? Put your entourage down and watch Theater Camp.
Yeah, I'm just all into boobs right now. Give me some boobs.
Is everything okay at home?
Yeah, but I just like boobs.
All right, settle down. Do you think you drank enough as a baby?
I have no idea.
Maybe you were like, it was like teased and you didn't.
Maybe I wasn't weaned off enough, you mean? Weaned off the teat.
I also watched a movie called After Sun.
Okay. Is that like you late at night in Hawaii?
Like aloe vera burn? When you have a burn on your sun.
Where's the aloe vera?
It stars Paul Mescal, who did you ever watch Normal People?
No.
Yeah, it's good. You should watch Normal People.
Is that the one he was nominated for last year? Okay. No, I haven't seen it.
It was a TV show, so he wouldn't.
Then no, he wasn't. Paul Mescal.
What was he nominated for last year?
I don't know. Some movie that I haven't seen, but I know the name.
Yeah. Do you know the name? Anyways, Paul Mescal is like this girl's, she's got all these tapes of when she went on holidays with her dad. Oh. And he was nominated for After Sun. Sorry.
For this movie. Okay.
This is the movie he's nominated too much sun. For.
And this is what happened after.
And it's now available on, Crave on HBO.
So they spent a day in the sun. Filmed each other. Yeah. They watched it at night.
That's right.
What happens?
I recommend you watch this movie. And when in about 30, 45 minutes in, when you're going, this movie is kind of slow, I don't know if I could watch it, I would say double down and keep watching this movie. And it's like a pretty powerful ending. Like it just kind of like hits you in the emotions. Credits.
Powerful.
So
the end.
It's not the most exhilarating movie ever.
Wow, you're really fucking selling it here, Russ.
It is like it's a good character study.
It's not the most 40 minutes in, you'll be pulling your
looking
hair
back
out. You won't
on their relationship with their dad.
But stay with it.
And just kind of like yeah. Anyways, just okay. I recommend it. Theater Camp and After Stun.
Okay.
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 Give it a
I'm
shot.
I'm just bugging you.
I don't know. It's
fine. You know what time it is for?
It's random movie trivia.
Random movie trivia game.
You don't even have the cards.
Okay, I don't have the cards. You say
shit.
Okay. This is the part where I have to find something to talk about, and Russ isn't here. I'm not good at just coming up with stuff. I'm just good at sort of feeding it back to you. You know, like you say something and I'll make fun of you for it.
Have you ever heard of My Little Buttercup?
Yeah.
My Little Buttercup has the sweetest smile.
So I would say if you ever have to
use that instead.
Yeah.
Okay. And just talk about the Three Amigos.
Exactly.
Okay.
London Drugs. Sold me this game. And it's just four.
Talk about ROI on this game though, eh? Like, how much did you pay for this game?
Oh, probably like $100.
No, seriously.
Probably like $16.
There you go. And like, look how much use we've gotten out of it already. That's what I'm saying. We've been playing it for what, 2 years now?
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh.
Exactly.
2 years.
Who plays a game for 2 years?
I do. I play Dungeons & Dragons for like 10 years.
More like 30 years.
No, I took a break. Okay. So there's four questions. We've never seen these questions before. We're going to take turns. Whoever gets the most right wins.
Right.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. Like I ask or I receive?
You receive.
I receive. Okay, let's do it.
What film stars two deadbeat clerks at a convenience store? The answer is
not in
the
title.
Question.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Clerks. Let's just not
beat
around the bush. No.
Yeah. Clerks. Ding, ding.
Nice. All right, you ready?
What's your connection with Clerks?
Kevin Smith made it, and I like Kevin Smith.
Okay, you don't want to talk about Scott Mosher?
I don't really have a connection with him. He's my mom's best friend's son.
That's a good connection.
Well, I mean, like, I don't even talk to the... He used to babysit me when it... Okay.
Scott Mosher used to babysit you.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
okay.
A connection.
No, for sure. But, I mean, if you were to go, hey, and Scott, you know Sean Davis, you'd be like, who? Right. You know what I mean?
He's a famous producer. Famous now. You make a podcast in the basement.
Yeah, exactly.
So look at us now.
Yeah. I don't know if he'd say who, but whatever. Anyways, no, Scott was super cool. He showed me Michael Jackson's Thriller when I was like 4 years old, and I slept in my parents' room supposedly for an entire year after that. So I don't think they like appreciated that too much, Scott.
So he was influencing culture even back then.
And he took me to his film school graduation.
Oh, in Vancouver Film School?
Well, I don't know. A film school. Yeah, Vancouver Film School. And then I was like, that's it. I want to do this too. And
what happened?
And I went to Vancouver Film School. Oh, you went to
Vancouver Film School.
10 years after that or so.
That is cool.
Yeah. Anyways. But if you were to say, hey, who is he? He'd be like,
who is he? Why does he have such a weird voice?
I don't know.
He also has a podcast. Because
I'd have no idea what his voice is like right now.
I think they have a podcast.
Those guys, him and Kevin. I'm pretty sure they do. Yeah, Smodcast or something like that.
Yeah, they probably have a whole universe. They probably have a whole...
Yeah, where they talk about us on their podcast.
They talk about like dirty stuff.
Well, probably, like us. You ready?
Yep.
Who plays Peter Breder in Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Oh, I was just thinking about this fucking guy.
Who plays Peter Breder?
Yeah.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
It's weird. Like, I just always get his
Sarah name. Marshall.
Here's why I was just thinking about him.
I swore.
Because Princess Bride, he does an amazing Andre the Giant impression, and he's in that Princess Bride YouTube video. I want to say Jason Segel, but that...
Yeah. You got it.
Yeah. I don't know why that always, like, that name questions me. Maybe because Steven Seagal. Anyways.
Good movie.
Love that movie. Who directed Tom Hanks in Angels and Demons? A. Ron Howard. B. David Cronenberg. C. Spike Jonze.
I'm going to go with Ron Howard.
Okay.
A.
Give me a David Cronenberg film.
David Cronenberg did like Existence, and he does these really. He's Canadian but director. He's got a very morbid.
Give me a Spike Jonze film.
Spike Jonze would have done like what's the Andy Kaufman?
Man on the Moon?
No, not Andy Kaufman. I don't know. Spike Jonze does like
kind of quirky.
Yeah, like he didn't do Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless, but he would have done a movie like that.
Right. You know? He did Her.
Yeah, I've often seen it.
Yeah.
So was I right?
Yeah, of course.
Stupid. Nice.
Ron Howard.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Who plays Major Dutch Schaefer in Predator? Major Dutch Schaefer in Predator.
Okay.
Who plays...
Dutch. Okay, Arnold says the word
Major
Dutch,
Dutch Schaefer in Predator.
Dutch. Doesn't he say Dutch?
Dutch.
So then it would be the boxer.
Are you going to pay for my dinner?
We're going Dutch. Apollo Creed.
Time's running out. Apollo Creed's... time's up.
Darn it.
Somebody.
I have to say Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's not Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh my God, I hate you. It is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, it is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Good guess.
Dutch.
That's what you get. You got to make a guess. Take a risk.
And who's the actor who plays Apollo Creed again?
Carl Weathers.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Bonus point.
Forget actors' names. Ready?
Yep.
What 1927 movie is considered to be the first full-length musical? What 1927 movie is considered to be the first full-length musical?
I don't know. I'm going to...
Directed by Ron Howard. And starring Scott Mosier.
I'm going to say The Wizard of Oz.
It's not. Sorry. It's The Jazz Singer.
Oh, okay.
We should watch The Jazz Singer. Maybe we should go back. Maybe we should go back to the 20s.
How the hell are we going to find that?
I bet you it's on YouTube, all that stuff, right? Because once...
After 100 years, there's no copyright. No copyright.
All right.
We could probably legally find that.
Online. Everything's legal online.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Okay. What are the nicknames of Atticus Finch's children in To Kill a Mockingbird? What are the nicknames of Atticus Finch's children in To Kill a Mockingbird?
I don't know. Dumb Shit and Poo Poo Pants.
Oh, man. No, it's actually Smart Shit and Pee Pee Pants.
I knew it. What was it?
Scout and Gem.
Oh, I feel like we've talked about that for some reason.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, like there was maybe a To Kill a Mockingbird question in the path.
What happened to you there?
You ready for your last one? Okay.
Maybe you need a sip of coffee to wet your lips.
And then I'll burp in the microphone just for everybody at home.
Okay, ready?
Yep. Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw Massacre is loosely based on what serial killer? Leatherface.
Oh, I don't get a multiple choice. In Texas
Chainsaw Massacre is loosely based on what serial killer? A.
Oh.
Sean. B. Russ. Or C. Matt.
Tom Cruise. I'm going to go with C. Tom Cruise.
That is incorrect. His name is Ed Gein?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. G-E-I-N.
Shit.
All right. Here we go.
All right. This is for the win.
What is the Scout and what was the other name?
Gem. Scout. Truly outrageous. Truly outrageous.
I think I should watch that film. Maybe we should go back to the classics.
Can you be quiet?
Yep.
What actor plays the captain of the orca
in
the first Jaws movie?
Look at me. I'm the captain now.
I'm the captain now in the first Jaws movie. I'm the orca captain. Orca captain.
Yeah, I feel like he's the all that jazz
and the actor.
Guy. I know. Oh, my
Scout and Jim. God.
Not Richard Dreyfuss.
Dutch Patterson.
Can you give me his...
Dutch. I'm not giving you nothing.
First letter. What?
Time's up.
Okay, I will accept the defeat, but give me the first letter of his first name.
R.
No.
Okay. Fine. Russ.
Russ.
Name's Russ.
Name's Russ.
Robert Shaw.
That's a weak spot, Robert. Good old Robert Shaw.
Okay, wait. We're tied at 2.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Do we need a tiebreaker, or are we just calling it a tie?
We can call it a tie. Does anyone give a shit?
I don't know.
Okay, well, let's keep going. Who cares?
Yeah, what anyone thinks. You got to be anywhere?
Yeah, just grab anything.
Okay,
first one to get it wrong.
Okay, and we're just going to go...
Yeah.
Now, can you pick anyone you want, or what's the deal here?
No, go top to bottom.
Top to bottom.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll go.
Okay.
What was Walt Disney's first full-length feature film?
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Okay, that's mine. Just leave that shit on. Okay, go.
Okay, yeah. Lightning round. What Tarantino film was the first Western in 34 years to have a score by Ennio Morricone?
The Hateful Eight? What is the name of the second Mad Max movie? Is it Road Revenge, Fury Road, or The Road Warrior?
The Road Warrior.
Across
the Universe features the music of what supergroup?
The Beatles. How many billboards were there outside Ebbing, Missouri?
1,000.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now ask me.
What actress gets knocked up and knocked up?
Oh, fuck me. Not Seth Rogen, but the girl from Grey's Anatomy.
You suck.
Which is obviously... I'm not going to get her name. Okay, we got to keep going.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I can't remember. Give me.
Then you get it wrong.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We're both wrong then.
No, I got it right.
You didn't get 3 billboards from Missouri. You said 1,000.
Well, you didn't say it was wrong.
Of course it's wrong.
Okay,
why
I didn't
would
know.
You think 1,000 okay. is correct? Where's 1,000 from?
Okay. Well, I don't know. You didn't say yes or no.
Keep going. The Pod People take over San Francisco in what 1978 sci-fi horror film? Oh, man.
Evasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, my God. Okay, go. Yeah, that was right. Just to clarify.
Thank you.
That was
what right. composer orchestrated Psycho, Vertigo, and Cape Fear? Psycho, Vertigo, and Cape Fear composer. Composer.
Yeah.
Psycho, Vertigo.
Not Alfred Hitchcock. That's all I know. I don't know. You win. What a game.
Bernard Herrmann.
Robert
that was a crazy
Shaw,
lightning round. Scout, we should just do it like gem. That to begin with.
Yeah, I think so.
You know?
Okay. Don't take.
Thank
stop
you,
taking our
thank
time.
Thank you.
Good for you.
Thank you. Thank
that was
you.
Nail biting.
Thank you.
Robert Shaw, Scout and Jam.
Robert Shaw.
And who is the composer? I forgot now.
Bernard Herrmann. Herrmann. Paging Mr. Herrmann.
Bernard Herrmann. Interesting.
Mm.
Okay. All right, buddy. This is it.
I think that's it.
Yeah. Happy day for you.
Happy day for you too.
Okay, love everybody.
Love you.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show.
You're gonna have to call the fucking
United Nations and get a fucking binding resolution to keep me from fucking destroying
Tom, calm down.
I am talking scorched earth, Tom. Motherfucker. I will
don't think he wants us to post this.
I will fuck you up!
Oh, my God.
Go fuck yourself.
Who's that at the end?